This recording has been released into the public domain by the Bonson Institute, where we aim to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Is our text, the fifth verse, but I'd like to read the entire paragraph in which that is found. So we'll read James 1, verses 5 to 9. Perhaps you're a little bit like me. You've been thinking during these last couple weeks about the subject of our new series on wisdom in the Proverbs. I'm sure that I'm forced to think about it a little bit more since I have to prepare the messages and remember the messages, but I hope that you're thinking through them with me. And I don't know, I find as I'm thinking about the subject of wisdom and foolishness and how the Bible teaches us to depend on the Lord, not on ourselves, I'm singing more and more that song, "What Kind of Fool Am I?" You may remember that from a few years ago. I can see some of you are in my same age group. Let's read James, the first chapter, beginning at the fifth verse, to find out how God would have us fools respond. "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And thus far the reading of God's Word. What is wisdom? Wisdom's the most valuable thing, and all of your getting, Proverbs says, get wisdom. Sell everything you have, for it's more costly, it's more valuable than rubies or gold. Don't be a fool. Run away from foolishness. Seek out wisdom. Wisdom's calling in the street. She bids you to come and to take of her wares. So we started our series by seeing the supreme value of wisdom, how we should seek it above all, how wisdom should characterize our lives. What is wisdom, though? Well, wisdom, according to the Bible, involves two things, at least: understanding and skill. Understanding, well, it can be understanding of just about anything. Factual matters, the clouds, you know, those who by wisdom understand the clouds the Bible speaks of. Or it can be special insight. Here's the mind that has wisdom. It understands the number of the beast, that it's 666. So wisdom involves understanding, but especially, and I think over and over again in the Bible, it's the kind of wisdom, the kind of understanding that brings spiritual comprehension of events. Paul says if the leaders of this world had wisdom from God, they would have understood that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. So wisdom, on the one hand, brings understanding, especially spiritual insight, spiritual understanding. But wisdom is more than understanding. Wisdom is more than mere intellectual knowledge. Wisdom is also a skill. We read in the book of Exodus how God gave wisdom to the craftsmen who were making things for the temple, for the tabernacle of God at that time. Wisdom is a skill, and in particular, it is a skill of godly living, a moral ability to understand the application of God's will to specific situations. You know, when you're really in a bind and you don't know what to do, you go to somebody that you consider wise and ask him his or her advice. The wise person is the one who can see the principles of God's Word, see the complications of your situation, and bring the two together and come out with a God-pleasing, human-helping solution to the problem. Wisdom, then, is understanding and moral skill. As I defined it 2 weeks ago, wisdom is the skills of godly living necessary to carry out our calling, acquired by those who are in Christ through spiritual reception and understanding of God's Word. Skills of godly living for those who are in Christ, acquired through spiritual reception of God's Word. The characteristic marks of wisdom, some of them anyway, that we touched on were, well, wisdom's the opposite of short-sightedness. The wise man doesn't look just at the things immediately at hand, but looks at long-range consequences. Wisdom should come with experience and age. When it doesn't, it's quite an insult to an older person not to be wise. Wisdom demonstrates a teachable attitude. The wise man is one who is willing to learn, to see his errors. And wisdom seeks to obey the Lord. Well, then in our second week in this series, we look the opposite way. We kind of turn things over. Now that we know what wisdom is, who is the fool? I said last week in the first place, remember, we don't use the word fool as a derogatory insult in our anger. You know, like Mr. T going around saying, you fool, to people. We don't use the word that way, but the Bible does say that there are those people and there are actions and attitudes that are foolish and must be classified as such that they might be avoided. And so what does the Bible say about fools? And it's really incredible. From the opening to the close of the Bible, you're going to find plenty about wisdom and foolishness. Fools trust in their own hearts, the Bible says. Fools don't understand the depth of the Lord's thoughts and understanding. Fools level charges at God. After all, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. What greater charge is that? Fools despise instruction. They are unteachable people, and they depart from the revelation of God. And so I said that at base, if you want to know who the fool is the person that's an autonomous man, thinks that he's self-reliant. He doesn't honor God and doesn't honor the direction of God's word. Now, there are some people who are not categorically fools who nevertheless act foolishly, even those who are Christians, unfortunately. But when they act foolishly, they're acting like people who would be autonomous, who would not lean on the Lord, but trust in their own insight and thinking. So the Bible gives us some characteristic types of fools, what I call the fool's gallery of Proverbs. And there are three in particular that I commented on last week. There's first of all the fool who is the easily seduced simpleton who cannot be disciplined. He's lazy, he's morally irresponsible. And so you have the person who's easily seduced. Secondly, in the fool's gallery of Proverbs, we find the scoffer, the one who scorns things and makes deliberate trouble. And thirdly, you have the dull and the morally obstinate menace who cannot imagine that he himself is mistaken, who is unrestrained, who is boorish, who is like the dog who returns to his own vomit. A terribly disgusting image, but this is the biblical view of the fool. And so this morning, we, having seen the value of wisdom and what it is, and hopefully being just appalled at the biblical picture of the fool, want to ask ourselves, how do we receive wisdom? I mean, you're singing with me, aren't you? Even if you don't know the song, what kind of fool am I? When you look at your life, doesn't it embarrass you? You know, we sometimes think of the day of judgment in terms of guilt and shame, and we should. The day of judgment, if we weren't in Jesus Christ, who forgives our sins and stands up as the righteous advocate for us, the day of judgment would be a tremendous day of guilt and shame. But you see, there's another side to that. Not only is it the shame for our immorality, for our disobedience to God, the day of judgment, I think, would also be a day of shame because of our foolishness. How long it takes us to learn lessons, how unteachable we are, how short-sighted we are, how obstinate we are. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and say, how could I keep making this mistake? What's wrong? How do you receive wisdom? How can fools stop being so foolish? I'm going to lay down a premise and then draw some applications from that premise this morning. And my premise is very simple, but very profound, and that is that only God is wise. Only God is wise. Let's have our Bibles in hand this morning as we do this biblical study. In the first place, Romans 16, verse 27, tells this of God the Father. The very end of the book of Romans, the 27th verse of chapter 16, we read, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. To the only wise God. God alone has wisdom. And we need to understand that if we're going to receive wisdom. Not only is God the Father the repository of wisdom, but Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ are deposited all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so God the Father is the only wise God. God the Son has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, where Paul, for three chapters, will go on and on about foolishness and worldly wisdom and how God's foolishness in the eyes of the world is really wiser than the wisest of men. In this very context, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." I think if we were to put this in our traditional evangelical way of thinking, which is true enough, but I think it's interesting, we would say Jesus Christ is, first of all, our redemption. And then he redeems us because he's our righteousness. And being our righteousness, then we must be righteous. He is our sanctification. And then we might add, and as a P.S., he's also wisdom. But that isn't what Paul says. He begins right at the beginning. He says, Christ is made to us wisdom from God. What does God say to fools? You need my wisdom. You need my Son, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then a passing reference to the Holy Spirit in Acts, the 6th chapter, verse 3, tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who communicates wisdom to men. Acts 6:3. Here are the requirements for those who would be deacons in the church. "Look ye out, therefore, brethren, from among you, 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. Yes, God only is wise. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, tells us that God made the world and God governs the world in wisdom. There is nothing God does that is foolish. Now, we may think so. We look at earthquakes in Mexico City. We think of political problems. We think of immorality in the world. And we say to ourselves, why do things go on like this? The confidence of the Christian is everything is in God's hands, and God does nothing improperly. God always has a wise plan. So Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 and 20. "Jehovah by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and the skies dropped down dew." Everything that happens in this world is based upon the wise plan of God. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, tells us that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. This all-wise God. All right, so my premise this morning is a simple one, and you mustn't forget it as we go on now to find out how we can receive wisdom. The premise is that only God is wise. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God operating in creation, God operating in providence, God operating in redemption. God, through and through, and only, exclusively, is wise. Well, now, what would you think if that's the premise? Hopefully, it wouldn't take much for you to realize that if only God is wise, then wisdom for us must begin with the fear of the Lord. Where shall wisdom be found? Oh, there's this beautiful passage in Job, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 12, that I must read for you. Job, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 12. Follow along with me in your Bibles, if you will. Job 28:12. "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, neither shall it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. Yea, the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the birds of the heavens. Destruction and death say, we have heard a rumor thereof with our ears." This is beautiful Hebrew poetry, by the way. You see, even destruction and death say, we've heard a rumor that there's wisdom, but where in the land of the living is the wise? It cannot be found, even the birds of heaven. There is no wisdom here. We couldn't pay a high enough price to get wisdom. And so Job says now in verse 23, God understands the way of wisdom. God understands the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. to make a weight for the wind. Yea, he meteth out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He established it, yea, and searched it out. The answer is, first of all, then, God knows wisdom, because God sees everything. God sees to the end of the universe. God's the one who sends the rain. God's the one who made the world. God's the one who establishes wisdom. And then verse 28, and unto man, this all-wise, this only wise God says unto man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now look, we live in a mechanical age. We live in an age that wants a quick fix. We live in an age that doesn't want to internalize, doesn't want to think things through, just wants to, in a very surfacey, very shallow, very outward and mechanical way, get what men want. You'll never get wisdom that way. Wisdom's not available to those who have the 20th century mentality, living life in the fast lane here in Orange County, whatever it may be. Wisdom comes with an attitude. And that attitude you don't get by just saying, well, okay, I'm going to start doing that now. Wisdom is a very deep thing. Wisdom begins with reverence for God. We all live such shallow lives, such lives guided by our own thinking, our own desires. We all do such selfish things, self-centered things. We all think in terms of the wrong priorities. And yet the Bible says, in the midst of all of our lives, we're living in the midst of God, in the very presence of God. And so think about that. Why is it that men go about their merry way, ignoring God, disobeying God, spurning the overtures of God, and even those who claim to follow God, ignoring Him, ignoring His Word, not being students of Scripture, not getting up every day and getting on their knees and begging God to give them wisdom and obedience that day? It's because we are dull and we are obstinate. We are self-centered. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And that doesn't come by just taking some kind of moral aspirin and boom, you know, your headache's gone. Psalm 111, verse 10, teaches the same thing. Psalm 111, verse 10. David says, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. And then, of course, I trust by this time you're well aware of the fact that Proverbs teaches this also. It's in Job, it's in Psalms. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:5, then shall, if you seek out wisdom as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. And so what is the fear of God? Well, I preached on this a few weeks ago. Maybe you remember the fear of God. Well, it's two things. On the one hand, it's being afraid of the awesome majesty and holy wrath of God. I do not believe that those who teach Christians in this day and age that we are not to be afraid of God in that way are correct. When we have reason to be afraid of God's holy terror, it's the height of foolishness not to be afraid. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. On the other hand, the Bible sets forth a fear of God that amounts to the reverential honor that is due to God, an honor that elicits confidence and love for Him. And it's this living humbly in the presence of God with an all-controlling adoration for Him that is the essence of godliness. That's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. That recognizes everything I do is done in the presence of my Maker. Everything I do will be evaluated by Him. Everything I do must be done humbly in submission to Him with love and adoration for His majesty. And so in short, the first thing you must do if you want to get wisdom, the first thing you must do is learn to meditate on the character of God. Wise people cannot be harried people, cannot be so busy, so consumed with the affairs of life that they don't stop to think about God. Because you see, we live and move and have our being in God, in the very presence of God. And we need to appreciate who this God is. So the beginning point of wisdom is to slow down and to meditate on who God is. I'm going to give you an example of this. It's only one of many, but turn to Psalm 107, verse 43. Psalm 107, verse 43. We're going to back up and look at more in the psalm, but the conclusion is this. Psalm 107, the 43rd verse. Who is wise will give heed to these things, and they will consider the loving kindness of Jehovah. The wise are those who give heed to what the psalm has been saying and will consider, will meditate on, will ruminate over the loving kindness of God. But now look at the entire psalm. It opens with these two verses. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good. His loving kindness endureth forever. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Wisdom meditates on these things. Wisdom, the redeemed of the Lord, say so. He is a God who is good. His loving kindness is forever. He's the kind of God who delivers men from distress. There is a refrain in this psalm that comes back over and over again. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What do you think? David thought you'd forget? Maybe David forgot that he already wrote that as part of his poetry. He didn't need to say that over and over again. Four times in a short, well, not terribly short, but not relatively long either, psalm. Over and over and over again. What's the problem? Men don't slow down and think. They don't ponder. They don't meditate. They don't consider. And so David keeps that refrain before us. Oh, that men would slow down and remember who God is. What's the end of the psalm say? The one who is wise gives heed to these things. And so ponder and give thanks to God's loving kindness. A loving kindness that delivers men from distress. There are other aspects of the character of God that we should meditate on, to be sure. But this psalm is just a wonderful illustration. We need to know who God is because wisdom begins. Wisdom is founded on the fear of the Lord. Secondly, if you want to be wise and stop being a fool, you need to see that wisdom is supplied by God. That's not what I just said. I just said wisdom begins with an attitude, the fear of the Lord, adoration, humble obedience before God. With that attitude, now what do you do? Well, what was the premise this morning? The very simple premise, have you forgotten yet? Who only is wise? God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit, God in creation, God in providence, God in redemption. Throughout His works, God only is wise. And so if we have the right attitude, the fear of the Lord, what next must we do? We must receive wisdom from God. And that wisdom is supplied in three ways. Well, you can cut the cake any number of ways you want, actually. But for convenience, I think you can see that wisdom is supplied through regeneration, being born again. Wisdom is supplied through revelation or the scripture where God speaks to us. And wisdom is supplied through prayer. If you want to stop being so foolish, then be born again. Receive God's word and pray. You say, but that's so simple. I mean, that's just the ABCs of the Christian life. Yes, it is. And you see how foolish we are? We are so foolish that we don't realize that that's how God drives out our foolishness and makes us wise. Let me show you. Psalm 51:6. David says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. David is praying in Psalm 51, his penitential prayer. David is asking that God will not take his Holy Spirit from him. David is referring to how he has been born again by the power of God's Spirit. And he says, in the hidden part, In my innermost being, you will make me know wisdom. God is the source of wisdom. After all, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? Wisdom doesn't come from what the world teaches. Wisdom comes by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul says, let no man deceive himself. If any man thinks that he is wise among you in this world, let him become a fool, that he might become wise. You better realize, first and foremost, that the Spirit of God needs to change your heart. The Spirit of God must bring enlightenment to your thinking. The Spirit of God must change the direction and character of your life. You must be born again. Regeneration is how God supplies wisdom. Secondly, God supplies wisdom through revelation or through the Scripture. Jehovah gives wisdom to the upright by the words of his mouth. Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 9. Let's turn back to Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 9. For Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the ways of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, every good path. Jehovah gives it. And how does he do it? Through his mouth. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. Scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:15, makes us wise unto salvation. Scripture, according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, is the rock foundation on which our lives are to be built. Unless, of course, we are fools who build our lives upon the sand. Scripture, according to Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, is our wisdom in the sight of all the nations round about who shall see us. The law of God is promulgated by Moses as the wisdom of God's people in the sight of the world. Do you want to be wise? Be born again. God must give this wisdom by regeneration. You want to be wise? Found your life on Scripture, what comes forth from God's mouth. And if you don't do that, you'll be the foolish man destroyed by the storms of life. And then thirdly, if you wish to be wise, the Bible says pray. That's what we read in our Scripture reading this morning, James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, that's such a comforting verse. You have a besetting sin. You've made some big mistakes in your life. You've done things that show you to be a fool. And you go to God. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. Now, what would you expect? You know, so often with earthly fathers, I know this is true of me as a father, that when our children finally do turn around and see what they're supposed to do, we can't help but say, but I told you so. Isn't that right? You know, now that you're finally going to do what I wanted you to do, I told you this wouldn't work out if you did it your way. What a blessing to know that God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't do that to us. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, he'll give it and upbraid not. He doesn't scold. He doesn't say, well, it's about time you came and found what you're supposed to do. He doesn't, you know, put us through a lot of guilt and torment and then finally say, well, all right, here's some wisdom. No, in fact, the Bible says he gives it liberally. Although there is a sense in which that means he gives it in abundance, really the Greek word, I think, refers to the attitude of God, that he's very free in his giving. Yes, he does give it in abundance, but he gives liberally in the sense that he is not at all hesitant. God just really is willing and glad to do that. So do you lack wisdom? Pray. You ever feel like going, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I pray about this? Why didn't I stop and say, God, I don't know what to do here. So help me. God, I'm a fool. I'm foolish. I lack wisdom. Show me the way. We don't pray. We don't found our lives upon the Scripture. And we forget that we need the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us fools. So you want to get rid of that foolishness? Remember, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is supplied by God, then, through regeneration, Scripture, and prayer. To put it very simply, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tell us that wisdom means learning to distrust our natural inclinations and to lean instead upon the Lord. You hear that? Wisdom means learning to distrust our natural inclinations. It's not a sign of wisdom for a man to say, well, I feel like doing this, so that's got to be the way to do it. No, the wise man says, you know, the first thing I'd want to do under the circumstances, jump to this. So I better stop and think about that. I better open the Bible and see what the wise man would do in such a situation. I must ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten my heart and my mind. I must pray to God. I must be teachable. I must be experienced in the word of righteousness. Wisdom means learning to distrust your natural inclinations and lean instead upon the Lord. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. One last thing. I've said wisdom begins with an attitude of reverence for God, the fear of the Lord, meditating upon him. Secondly, wisdom means going to God, realizing that only he can give us wisdom through regeneration, Scripture, and prayer. Thirdly, what would God have us do? Our hearts have been prepared. Our attitude is right. We're going to God with open hands, realizing that he gives this wisdom through prayer and Scripture and regeneration. What now would God have us do? Very simply, wisdom calls for seeking the Lord in an obedient spirit. Proverbs 28, verses 5 and 7. Proverbs 28, 5. Evil men understand not justice, but they that seek Jehovah understand all things. Verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He that is a companion of gluttons shameth his father. Now that your heart is prepared, now that you're receiving wisdom from God, what does God have you do? Obey him. What does God have you do? Obey him. What does God have you do? Obey him. But all the time, you see, our problem comes that we don't want to obey him, and so we come up with new things to do. We have other priorities. The path of wisdom is the path of obedience, humbly living in the presence of God. Ecclesiastes 12, another book of wisdom in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 and 10 says, and further, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words and that which was written uprightly, even words of truth. And then look at verse 13. This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The preacher lined up all his the preacher here is Solomon, I believe. Solomon lined out all his proverbs, set them in order, that wisdom might be taught us. And what is the end of it? What is the bottom line? When all is said and done, put aside your own desires, put aside your own wisdom, put aside all those priorities that have botched up your life and have made you a menace to yourself and others, and obey God. Learn that obedience comes, that happiness comes through obedience. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What kind of fool are you today? Are you a fool because you've been living your life thinking you can do without God? You've been thinking, I'm really all right just the way I am. My life will be filled with my own desires. I'll think my own thoughts. I don't need to depend on anybody, much less upon the supernatural. Are you that kind of a fool who says in your own heart there is no God? Out of your own life you demonstrate a kind of atheistic attitude? then you're the kind of fool who needs conversion, who needs to learn to fear God, to be humbled under His hand, to receive new life from His Holy Spirit. What kind of fool are you? Are you the kind who, although you're converted, has decided that you're just going to live your life with kind of this mystical idea that God will show me the right thing to do, and I don't need Scripture, I don't need revelation, I don't need the rock words of Christ on which to base my life? Well, maybe you haven't said that, but my guess is many of you, though you haven't said it, have lived like that. You've said, no, I need Scripture. I need it every day. I need it in every way. But you never open it, or hardly ever, and you don't seriously study it. Then you're the kind of fool who needs to hear Jesus' words, that you're foolish if your life is being built on sand. You see, a man who builds his life on the sand but keeps saying, I know I need a rock foundation, is still going to have a life that's destroyed by his foolishness. Are some of you born-again Christians who have been saying, I need the rock foundation of God's Word, but you're building your life on sand anyway? What kind of fool are you? Are you the one who needs to be rid of your obstinance and learn to become obedient? You're the kind of fool who says, I know that there is a God. I know that He has spoken. I know my life must be built upon His Word, but I don't want that. You're the kind of fool who says, I will not do what God says because that isn't easy. That isn't pleasant. That isn't what I want most of all. Then you need to pray to God that He'll show you that you are in fact destroying yourself, that you are destroying your life and probably the lives of others around you by your foolishness, that you need to have your heart disciplined by His mercy. And finally, maybe you're the fourth kind of fool that I'm thinking of this morning, the kind of fool who says, no, I do need to be born again. I need Scripture and not myself to direct me. I need my heart tamed by God's Holy Spirit. I don't want to be obstinate. But you see, at that point, you need one more thing, and that's experience in the Word of Righteousness. You're the kind of fool who says, if I could just get more practice in applying Scripture, then I'd learn to do this better. Then I'd build up my spiritual muscles. Then I wouldn't be so foolish. My guess is everyone sitting here, unless you've just tuned out, can benefit from what we're talking about, because all of us fall into one of these, maybe more than one, of these categories of foolishness. What kind of fool am I? Only God is wise. Fear God. Go to Him to supply wisdom to you in regeneration, Scripture, and prayer, and then seek Him out in an obedient spirit, willing to do whatever He says to you. What kind of fool are you? In the end, the only real, ultimate fool is the one who will not recognize and do something about that foolishness. The Delphic Oracle once said that Socrates was the wisest of men, and Socrates thought for sure this showed the oracle not to know what it was talking about. And then it was explained to him, Socrates, you are the wisest of men because you alone realize your need of wisdom. Now that's a pagan story, and it can't possibly be fulfilled within the powers and the insights of men. And so let's apply it spiritually this morning. The Bible would teach you that ultimately, the wisest of men is the one who sees foolishness and goes to God to have it driven out. The greatest of fools is the one who will not recognize that he is a fool. Let's pray. We pray to you, our Father, God only wise this morning, that you might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that Spirit of wisdom, communicate to us from the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are deposited in our Savior Jesus Christ, that you might drive foolishness out of our hearts, out of our attitudes, out of our plans, out of our reasoning, that we might learn to truly image you, to be your image, to be wise as you are wise. Father, we recognize that there is so much that's shameful and really quite ridiculous about our lives, our behavior, and our attitudes. We ask that you would forgive us this morning, that you would make Jesus Christ wisdom to us, that we might be found in Him and therefore not seen in our sins. We pray that you, by your Spirit, might give us true reverence for you adoration of your majesty, your infinite wisdom, that we might meditate on you, we might slow down to become wise. We pray you would change our hearts and that you would teach us to live our lives based upon what your word says, to make us a prayerful people and a Bible-studying people. And then, Father, we ask that we wouldn't leave things there, but you would help us to get up from prayer and to go out and to seek you in obedience, to see what your law says and to do it. For, Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to image you. We want to reflect that wisdom that is yours. And I'd ask, Father, especially this morning, that foolishness that is certainly in all of us might be recognized by us, that we might truly examine ourselves this morning to know what kind of fools we are, to know what we need from you. And above all, Father, I pray that you would not allow any of us to be complacent and hardened in our foolishness. We thank you for the wisdom that you so liberally supply, so willingly supply, and what you supply to us this morning without scolding. We trust you in all confidence, without double-mindedness, that you mean business, and you will give us wisdom, and we'll be a changed people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This recording has been released into the public domain by the Bonson Institute. Duplication, sharing, and distribution is encouraged. For more information about the life and ministry of Dr. Greg L. Bonson, visit our website, bonsoninstitute.com, where we aim to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.